This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Matthew chapter number 5 in verse number 22, and then we're going to look at verse number 28, and then we'll look down to verse number 30. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 22. The Bible says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Verse 28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." Verse 30, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it far from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." This morning, I want to preach a brand new sermon series entitled "The Hottest Topic in the Bible." And of course, we're going to be talking about hell. It is the hottest topic in the Bible. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to try to show you some misconceptions that is out there concerning this awful, terrible place that the Bible calls hell. People question, would a loving, holy God send somebody to hell? Other people might believe that hell is just a myth or it's just annihilation. What does the Bible have to say about hell? You can see in our text already this morning that this is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is speaking here, and already several times in his sermon, one of the most popular sermons that Jesus ever preached, already several times in the text, we have read that the Bible teaches that Jesus taught there is a literal place called hell. Friend, you don't want to go there. You want to escape that place. And at the end of this sermon, I'm going to tell you how you can escape that awful, terrible place that the Bible calls hell. I want you to be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we talk about the reality of hell. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would lead us and guide us and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's somebody here today, Lord, and there's a group here today, Lord, that's dead, Lord, and they're dead in the trespasses of sins, and Lord, they don't know you. I pray today that you would help me, Lord, to help them, and may the Holy Spirit of God illuminate their heart and their mind where they put their faith and their trust in the only one that can deliver them from the fires of hell, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved us and died for us and is coming back again for us. Thank you, Lord, for the service already. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Let me start off by telling you a story. There was a young man that came home one evening, and he began just cussing his mother out. And he was upset at his mother, fussing and complaining and just arguing with his mother because of her belief in Jesus Christ. And he was so indignant, and he was so mad and angry because his mom believed in Christ and was trying to win him to the Lord. He came home that evening, he stormed into the door, and he said, "I'm sick and tired of all these Christians. I'm sick and tired of the gospel. I'm sick and tired of people trying to tell me that I need Jesus and I need to be saved." He said, "Today, Mom, a man gave me a track on the street and tried telling me about Jesus. I got in my truck, and there was a track inside my truck that you had left there. I went up to my bedroom and I found another gospel track on my bed. And Mom, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of people telling me about Jesus. I'm tired about hearing about the Bible. I'm tired about hearing about hell." And he was so mad and angry that he just slammed out the door. And as he was walking out the door, his mother could hear him say, "Where can I go so that I will never, ever be bothered again with all of this Jesus stuff?" And he slammed out the door and went off the porch. And his mother was standing there with tears in her eyes. And she had a trembling voice. And she's answering his question, "Son, where can you go where you'll never ever be bothered again?" She said, "Son, the only place that you can go is that awful, terrible place that the Bible calls hell." You need to know this morning that Erwin Lutzer said in his book, he said, 1 minute after we die, our minds, our memories will be clearer than ever before. 1 minute after you die and you wake up in that awful place called hell. Now, the Bible teaches us that the rich man, when he died and went to hell, that his memory was with him, his mind was together, and for the first time, things were clearer than they ever were before. John Stott, the famous theologian, said, "My question concerning hell must be and is not what does my heart tell me, but what does God's word have to say about hell?" And that old theologian, J.C. Ryle, many years ago said, "Hell is truth known too late." Hell is truth known too late. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want it to be too late for you. I don't want it to be too late for you that all of a sudden you wake up in this awful place that the Bible calls hell. You need to know today that if you die lost without Jesus Christ, and you will spend an eternity in hell, and in hell there is no hope and there is no help. That's why J.C. Ryle and many others down through the centuries have said hell is a truth that is known too late, because there is no help, there is no rescue, there is no restoration, there is no redemption in that awful place called hell. And so I decided to help you. And over the next couple weeks, I'm going to preach this topic, the hottest topic in the Bible. And of course, we're talking about the subject of hell. Now, you need to know that the idea of hell is mocked and it's ridiculed today. There are many people in our world that do not believe in this place called hell. Well, the very idea of an eternal punishment like hell is an idea, they say, that comes from the Dark Ages. It's just a musty, worn-out idea, and it should be rejected, and it should be chalked up as fairy tale. While we ought to look at hell like we look at Zeus or flying unicorns or multiple gods, it's just a fairy tale of the Dark Ages. And so the preacher, the man of God, who stands up and begins preaching about hell like I'm going to do today, many people will write me off as unrealistic. Others will write me off as being not connected to the culture and not connected to education and the culture today. Others will check me off as unloving or even cruel because I would stand and preach about the subject of hell. But you need to know this morning, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was never unloving and never cruel, he said a lot about hell. I'm going to tell you and tell you well this morning, you hear me and hear me well, you can ridicule hell and you can laugh your way all the way to hell, but you will not ridicule and criticize and laugh your way out of hell. There's only one way that a man or a boy or a girl, somebody help me, I'm preaching right now, there's only one way that a man or a boy or a girl is going to be saved, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, who loves you, and is coming back after you. So get saved today. Somebody say amen. You can laugh your way there, but you certainly are not going to laugh your way out. You see, when it comes to the truth about hell, you can do one of three things. This morning, you can reject it. You can simply reject it. You can say, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. I'm not going to listen to what the Bible has to say. I'm going to reject the truth that's revealed in the Bible. You can reject it, or you can simply ignore it. You can say, I'm just going to ignore it. If it's not on my mind, then maybe it won't happen. Out of sight, out of mind. I'm just going to ignore the truth claims of the Word of God. I'm going to ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to my heart. I'm going to reject it. I'm going to ignore it. But there's a third thing that you can do. You can accept it today. You can accept it and do something about it. And the only thing, listen now, the only thing that you can do to escape the fires of hell is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah to his name. So this morning, you can reject it, you can ignore it, or you can accept it. You see, here's the problem. The devil has planted so many misconceptions in our mind that the reality of hell is either ignored or it's played off as something else. You need to know that the Apostle Paul warned us about that very thing. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Listen, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. The Bible says the God of this world, who's he talking about? your enemy, Satan. Satan is trying to blind the minds of them that believe not. He blinds us with vain philosophies. He blinds us with liberal theology. He blinds us in our own ignorance. He tries to blind us to the truth of the Word of God. And what's happened today is there are many people that have come up with these ideas or these concepts about hell, and it has distorted the reality of what the Bible has to say about hell. Let me give you some of them very quickly. First of all, there is the universal view. The universal view. The universal view says, it's a view that teaches since God is loving, he will not condemn anybody to a place of torment. Since God loves everybody, he would never do such an awful thing that is to place us in a place of torment. That's called the universal view. There is those who believe in the metaphor view. This view is a belief that the wicked will never be redeemed and restored to a place of blessing in eternity, but scriptural accounts of their suffering and divine judgment are taken in a less than literal understanding and may be nothing more than just simply annihilation. It's just a metaphor. There's no place with eternal fire. There's no place with darkness. There's no place of suffering and weeping. While it's just a metaphor of being annihilated, and this would be their view. There is another view that stems from the Roman Catholic Church about purgatory. It would be the purgatory view. And this, they believe that there is a chamber somewhere located that when people die, that they will go to this place called purgatory, and based upon the prayers of others, that they just might come forth and emerge as redeemed. There are others who believe in what's called the conditional view, and they believe that hell is just a temporary situation, that because of your sins here, you're going to be temporarily isolated in this place, and then all the wicked one day, after they have gone through this purging, if you will, they will come forth as redeemed and rescued. And then there is the orthodox view, and this is the one that I hold to this morning, a belief that there is a literal place called hell, where there is weeping and there is wailing and there is gnashing of teeth, a literal place with fire, a literal place that is filled with darkness, a literal place that is not just punitive, or it is punitive, but not redemptive. That is, there's no hope and there's no help and there's no rescue. This would be the orthodox view, and that's the view that our church holds within our Bibles. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we believe that the lost, that the wicked, those that place their faith and everything else to get them to heaven, that those people will die lost without God and they will spend an eternity in a place called hell. And I can say this, whatever hell may be, the fire, the blackness, the smoke, the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth, whatever hell may be, hell is the total absence of the grace of God in your life. Oh, be saved today. Somebody say amen. Be saved today and trust in Christ. Well, this morning I want to look at a few biblical precepts that I believe is going to help you to understand what the Bible has to say about hell. If you're following with me, you can download our app. And all the notes will be there on our app. You can follow along with us. This is important for us to understand. If you're taking notes, number one, you need to know that the Word of God affirms the reality of hell. That the Word of God affirms the reality of hell. Now, the best thing for us to do is to start with a definition. And I'm going to choose the definition by Dr. Tony Evans. Dr. Tony Evans said, hell is the place of eternal exile where the ungodly will experience God's righteous retribution against sin forever. Look at it again. Hell is the place of eternal exile where the ungodly will experience God's righteous retribution against sin forever. You need to know that that definition corresponds with the teachings of Jesus. When Jesus tells us in the Gospels, he tells us repeatedly that hell is eternal fire. It's everlasting fire. He says there is eternal or everlasting punishment. This is the teachings of Christ. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 41. The Bible says, then shall they say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You need to know that in both of those verses, that the word everlasting and the word eternal is the same Greek word in both of the texts. And here's what Jesus is teaching. Listen, he is saying that hell is just as eternal and real and everlasting as heaven is. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching. He is trying to convey to his listeners, and he's conveying to us today, that hell is just as real as heaven is. Hey, we want to talk about streets of gold. We want to talk about walls of jasper. We want to talk about reuniting in heaven. But I want you to know, friend, there is another place that the Bible calls hell, and it is just as real as heaven. Somebody say amen. Well, Matthew chapter 5 in our text, the Bible says, "Thou fool, you shall be in danger of hellfire." Jesus talks about hellfire in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 22. Then again in Matthew chapter number 3, he talks about the whole body should be cast into hell. Now that's interesting to me. Jesus often talked about the reality of hell. As a matter of fact, he affirms it more than any other writer in the New Testament. Did you know that Jesus, when it comes to preaching about hell, that he spoke about it and he taught about it more than any other preacher in the Bible? According to one source, you can look at the 1,850 verses in the New Testament that record the words of Jesus, and 13% of them deal with the subject of hell and judgment. The Bible teaches us that Jesus taught parables. And as Jesus told those parables, more than half of the parables, listen now, more than half of the parables, they relate to the concept of hell and the teaching of hell. In fact, the strongest biblical word for hell is the word Gehenna. It is the Greek word Gehenna. And you will find the Greek word Gehenna used 12 times in the New Testament. And of those 12 times, 11 of those times was spoken by Jesus. The other time is found in the book of James. 11 times God, the Son of God, speaks about this awful place called hell, and he uses the word Gehenna to describe the horrors of hell. Now you would say, "Brother David, why does Jesus use Gehenna to describe the destiny of the lost?" The best way to explain it is by looking at what one commentator said. He talks about the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was basically a dump where everybody brought their garbage. And Jesus is going to use this dump where everybody brought their garbage, where even corpses were disposed of. He's going to use this area to describe the horrors of hell. And one commentator said the Valley of Hinnom was the city's permanent rubbish dump. Every kind of garbage was thrown there, along with the corpses of criminals. Worms bred and fed in the filth, and smoke from the fires kept burning there added to the stench created by the rottening rubbish. The Greek name for this place was Gehenna. The English translation is hell. And Jesus used this word no fewer than 11 times when speaking about the eternal destiny of the wicked. Jesus was trying to give them a word picture. And everybody that lived in Jerusalem and around the area, they knew about the city dump. You could smell it for miles. You could see the fire as it would burn up the corpses. And the fire was a fire that was never quenched. They kept the fire burning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so everybody knew what Jesus was talking about when he used the word Gehenna. He was talking about a filthy place, a place with smoke, a place where fire, a place where there are dead corpses. The dead corpses are not physical corpses. He's talking about spiritually dead people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they understood and they got exactly what Jesus was saying as he talked about this unspeakable place of anguish and sorrow. You would know that Jesus taught three things about hell. Number one, Jesus said that hell is fiery. Hell is fiery. Did you know that three times in Mark chapter number 9, Jesus talks about this place called hell? The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In verse 46, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Again in verse 48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The word worm there is an old King James language word for the word soul. He's saying where the soul dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where the soul dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hey, where the soul dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is not only a fiery place, but hell is a felt place. You may be thinking, well, the folks that go to hell, maybe they don't feel the misery. Maybe they don't feel the anguish. But the Bible teaches different. Hell is a felt place. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 50. And shall cast them into a fiery furnace where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, all day yesterday and even on my mind when I went to bed last night, I was thinking about what the Bible says about hell and those that will go to that place. And the Bible says there is weeping and there is wailing and there is gnashing of their teeth. The pain and the torment is so intense. The torments are multiple. Not only the suffering of the flame, but there is suffering in the sense of those that realize that Jesus was the Messiah, that the preacher was right, that there is a literal place called hell, and their memory and their mind brings them a sense of torment, and they're tormented over the fact that their brothers and their sisters and their mom and their dad might end up in this awful place, and their mind begins to torment them as they are suffering in the flames. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented. The Bible says they shall be tormented day and night. Listen, forever and forever. Hell's not only a fiery place. Hell is not only a felt place, but hell is also a forever place. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. It is complete isolation forever. Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why would you want to go there? In light of the truth of the revealed word of God, you tell me that you believe in heaven. You tell me that you believe in angels. You tell me that you even believe that there is a God that created all things. But for some reason today, in your own pride, you sit there today and you ignore the plain truth of Scripture that hell is a fiery place, that hell is a felt place, and hell is a forever place. No wonder the songwriter, many years ago, I believe under conviction of what he knew would happen to the lost, wrote the song, said, oh, fearless soul, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. I want you to know there are some people here today. You are unprepared to meet God. You've been living your life in selfish pride. You've been living your life for your own. You live your life for the pleasures of the world and for the popularity of the world, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You are unprepared to meet God. If you were to die today, you would wake up in that awful place that the Bible calls hell. Listen, if we could walk over to the corner of the church and lift up a lid, and God would allow us to peer down into that awful place called hell, you would hear weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You would hear people calling out and saying, don't come to this awful place. It's a fiery place. It's a felt place. And it's a forever place. Oh, prepare yourself to meet God. Somebody say amen. Jesus affirms, the word of God affirms the reality of this place called hell. Not only does the word of God affirm the reality of hell, but second of all, the character of God demands the necessity of hell. The very character of God demands the necessity of hell. Now, how many of you in here have ever heard somebody say this phrase? It's a misconception, by the way, but you've heard him say the phrase, a loving God would never send people to hell. A loving God would never send people to hell. Now, that statement can be looked at as correct, but there are three words in there that are incorrect. And the three words we're going to look at is the word loving, send, and people. Let's look at all three of those words. First of all, the word loving. Now, God's love is a different love from our love in the sense that God's love is a holy love. God's love is a righteous love, that God's character and God's law cannot be violated by allowing darkness and sinners to enter into his presence in the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11 says this about God's attitude toward the sinner and toward the lost. It says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure. Listen to me. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Are you sitting around here telling me that you think God is having good times by sending people to hell? God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You know, the Bible makes it very clear that God hates hell, and God hates those that have to go to that awful place called hell. You need to know that God's love is so merciful, that God's love is so kind, and God's love is so sovereign, that if people want to choose to go to hell, that God loves you so much that he will allow you to have your own choice. That's where a lot of people go wrong. God's not sending you to hell, you're sending yourself there. You've lived your life all of your days rejecting the gospel, rejecting God's love, rejecting God's mercy. So God, who loves you so much, and God who will never take away your human free will, God's not going to break your door down and make you get saved. God's not going to twist your arm and make you get saved. God loves you so much. He created you with a free will that he will allow you to exercise your free will. He will allow you to choose him or to reject him. That's how much God loves you, that he will allow you to make your own choice. And what you've chosen to do is, God, I don't love you. I reject your gospel. I reject your salvation. I'd rather have hell and live in hell than have heaven and live with you. I don't want your righteous demands. I don't want a sacrifice for you. I'd rather have hell. And God, who loves you, will allow you to spend an eternity in an awful place called hell. The Bible says God's love is a holy love. God's love is a righteous love. God's love is a never-ending love. The second word I want you to see is the word send. And again, let me make this as plain as I can. God does not send anybody to hell. You said, Brother David, a few moments ago, you said I send myself there? Yes, that's exactly right. John chapter 3. In verse number 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Listen, but he that believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How sad it is today to know that if you are sitting here and you have rejected Jesus Christ and his gospel, you are a perishing person on your way to hell. You are condemned already. You are condemned already. You say, well, I've never murdered nobody. If you've had hatred in your heart, Jesus said it's like you've had murder in your heart. Long before Cain killed Abel with his hands, murder was already in his heart. The Bible says if you even look upon a woman and you lust with her within your heart, as you look upon her, the Bible says you've committed adultery in your heart already. You've already broke two of the Ten Commandments by being angry at somebody and having hatred. Your heart's filled with murder. And looking upon somebody from the opposite sex, and lusting after them. You've already committed adultery in your heart. I want you to know, friend, the Bible says God doesn't condemn us to hell. You condemn yourself there because, hey, God's made a way of escape through the cross of Jesus Christ. He sent his son to die on your behalf. Your sins and my sins were laid upon the cross of Jesus Christ. He bore the sins of humanity, and he suffered not at the hands of the Romans. He suffered at the mighty hands of God, and it was God's hands, and it was God's punishment on Jesus Christ, and he took it all for you and I. Somebody say amen. Dr. Norman Geisler sums it up this way. He said, the alternative to hell is worse than hell itself because it would rob human beings of freedom and dignity by forcing them to go to heaven they didn't want to go to in the first place and robbing them of their free choice. Hell is not a sentence that God passes on sinners. Hell is a process of rejection where you have rejected God. The Bible teaches us that God does not send people to hell. Somebody says, well, a loving God would never send people to hell. Well, God's love, he loves you so much, he won't force it on you. God's not going to send you to hell. You will send yourself there. But what about that last word, people? God will not send people to hell. Listen to me. Listen now. God doesn't send people to hell. Did you know that? God doesn't send people to hell. The only people that go to hell are sinners who do not trust in Jesus Christ. God sends the sinner to hell. God sends the wicked, only the sinner who refuses to receive God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Those are the individuals that go to hell. You see, not only did Jesus, listen now, listen well, not only did the Word of God talk about the reality of hell, not only does the very character of God demand the necessity of hell, that God will not allow sinners to violate his holy kingdom. And so before you get there, he provides a way for sinners to cross the bridge where sinful man can have a relationship with the holy God. Hey, and that bridge is the cross of Jesus Christ. You can find a way of escape. Somebody say amen. Let me give you the last one and we'll go. The grace of God saves us from the penalty of hell. One of the most precious verses you will find in the Bible is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. And listen to this now. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. That is, God doesn't lie about his promises. Whatever promise God gives me, he's going to follow through that. How many believes that? What God promises, he will follow through. Let me see your hands, right? You believe in the very promises of God. Listen what the Bible says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Listen to this. But is long-suffering to usward, read this with me, not willing, read it with me, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a loving God we serve. He loves you so much where he will not violate your human free will. He loves you so much that where he will not force himself on you, forcing you to choose him, that's how much he loves you. But even in your rejection, even in your unwillingness to come after him, God still loves you. What an amazing love. Would you love somebody that would come up and spit in your face? Would you love somebody that would curse you and take your name in vain? Would you love somebody that lives their life trying to trample you down and rejecting the truth that you have to offer? Would you have a relationship with that person? That's the very thing that we do as sinners. We spit in the face of God. We reject the truth of God. We ignore what God has to say. We don't listen to his word. We're not followed by his will. But yet, God somehow, some way, listen now, God continues to love you. He continues to love you. He continues to love you. The Bible says he is long-suffering. What a holy God we serve. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were a sinner, rejecting God, while you were a sinner, getting drunk and smoking pot and being a womanizer and committing adultery and living your life in an immoral, wicked way, even while you were a sinner, Christ still loves you. Even while you rejected the word of God, God still loves you today. What a never-ending, holy, everlasting love that God has for us. The Bible says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we believe in a Christian worldview that Christ was the God-man, 100% man, but 100% God. It was God veiled, his deity veiled in humanity. It was God that died for you and I. Listen now, when Jesus died on that cross, we believe that God is all-powerful and we believe that God is all-knowing. Listen, while he was on the cross, he had the ability to look down through the corridors of time and see you sitting here today. And he knew that you was lost. He knows exactly what you have done. He knows exactly how you have lived. He knows all your wicked ways. He knows your wicked thoughts. He knows what you have done in the dark. He knows that you are a pornography user. He knows that you're smoking dope. He knows that you're drinking behind everybody's back. He knows that you are cheating on your mate. He knows that you're not a good dad. You're not the best wife. You're living your life in sin and wickedness. While he was on the cross and he looked down to the corners of time, he knew what you were. But yet, he still loved you. He still loved you, even as wicked and as horrible as you have led your life. You say, Brother David, are you telling me that God knows all that I've ever done? Are you telling me that God knows that I am vile? Are you telling me that God knows that I am wicked? Are you telling me that God knows every nasty thing that I've ever done, but yet, he still loves me? I'm telling you, that's exactly what God's saying today. Oh, what a loving God we serve. While he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Somebody say amen. He loves us, the Bible says. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world. You know, many times we read that verse and we skip by that word so. Oh, we need to slow down for a few moments. That God so loved the world. God so desired the world. God had so much passion for the world. The Bible says that he gave his only begotten son. Let me ask you today, would you give the life of your son, your daughter, your family, or even your own life for somebody that was wicked and vile? Would you exchange your family's life for Adolf Hitler? Would you exchange your family's life for Saddam Hussein? Would you exchange your life or your family for the most vile, wicked person? Would you let them die for such a person like that? Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. God allowed his son to die for the Adolf Hitlers of the world. God allowed his son to die for the Saddam Husseins of the world. God allowed his son to die for the David Samsons of the world, those who were vile, unclean, wicked, lost, depraved, doomed, and damned, and on their way to hell. God sent his son Jesus to die. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me tell you this story real quick and we're going to go. Back in the days of the Spanish-American War, there was an individual, a woman by the name of Carla Barton, and she was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba at the time and helping distribute water and food and medical supplies. And the story goes that one day Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came in and he wanted some supplies and medical supplies and food for those who were wounded in war and those who were starving. He was going to bring some supplies back, and he was willing to pay for them himself. And he walks up to Carla Barton, and he asks for those supplies. And she tells him no. Well, you can just imagine how mad Roosevelt got and how confused that he was. And he got a little angry because this little girl working behind the desk refused him of all these supplies. And he asked again, and she said, "Colonel, you don't have to buy them. All you have to do is ask for them." Well, the story goes that a smile came across his face because he realized that the provisions that he needed to help others, they weren't for sale. They were simply free for the asking. And I want you to know today, friend, what you need, it's not for sale. You don't have to give any money in the offering plate. You don't have to really do anything. All you have to do is humble your...
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.